Welcome to the PSDcast with your host, Jason Lumber with Tower Systems Design. Nuclear power. It's attracted no shortage of controversy, mainly because of subpar safety protocols in certain nations, but it's also quite possibly the greatest and most efficient untapped source of energy. And the war in Ukraine has caused renewed interest in nuclear energy with the sudden loss of Russian oil and liquid natural gas. And on the line to discuss this is the CEO and head of reactor development over nanonuclear energy, James Walker. So, James, thanks for joining us. And why do you believe there's this renewed interest in nuclear energy, or has interest never really waned?
Hi, Jason. Thank you very much for having us. Well, with nuclear, interest did wane, admittedly. Like, the industry was really, I would believe, on the decline, sort of mid sort of 2012, all the way up, really up until about now. And I think the reason for that is that there was a lot of opinion that we could meet our energy requirements using other alternatives. And I mean alternatives even to fossil fuels. So wind and solar, green hydrogen, everyone was hoping those would sort of meet, be able to give us that boost up in terms of energy supply that we needed. But what ended up happening is that you could see some demonstrable things happening in the world that really indicated that wasn't possible. And very big indications, like, say, when Germany moved away from its nuclear program to focus more on renewables as a way to try and reduce their carbon emissions, that resulted in a failure, essentially. They ended up having to burn Polish coal and buy French nuclear. And so their carbon emissions actually went up and their price of energy went up. And that would be seen by industry a lot, that had also been investing in renewables, but they weren't getting the sort of payback they wanted. And so the solution really did come full swing back round to nuclear, is that, you know, if we are serious about decarbonizing, we are serious about trying to bring up our energy output, then nuclear is obviously a very obvious way to do it. We know this works. We know it's very safe. We know it's very consistent. There's no intermittency. And for that reason, I think industry and government sort of aligned on this one and came together with the realization that nuclear had to be part of the solution at the same time. And that's why there's been such a resurgence in interest and nuclear companies sprouting up and everyone talking a bit more about nuclear now.
All right. Well, you mentioned safety concerns. So what has the industry done to mitigate some of the safety concerns surrounding nuclear energy?
So I think what's important with communicating about safety in the nuclear industry is that there's a bit of a misconception about it. Nuclear is the safest form of energy there is. And if we look at deaths per gigawatt hour generated as an example of as a metric, nuclear beats out wind, it beats out solar. It is already the safest form of energy there is. There's been very bad press, and that might be associated with the fact that because of these projects government backed and things. With regard like the safety, the reactors that are actually the US and other countries are beginning to examine now in the SMR space, the small modular reactor, those are even safer than the civil reactor powers that are already the safest form of energy. So you're improving the safety on something that's already the safest. Japan is a good example of a country that after Fukushima happened, again, nobody died in that instance. But sentiment for nuclear was very poor. And so they went and turned on a lot of old power stations, which resulted in far more deaths than, you know, had stuck with the nuclear. So I think communicating the nuclear is very difficult to break a nuclear reactor. It's very difficult to have an accident. And even when it does happen, it's very unlikely to result in any deaths. And I think that kind of messaging needs to accompany this sort of resurgent nuclear drive that's coming out of industry and government.
So you'd say it's probably more of an issue of a PR problem than a technology problem with the entire industry?
I would say the PR is definitely an issue, because if people were to appreciate, as I mentioned, when you look at certain metrics with regard to safety, I mean, nuclear does beat out all the competitors, and that's every other energy system, whether it's renewables or fossil, or other conventional fuels. That is not very well known about, and I think nuclear has. I think there's probably a psychological reason for that, in that the danger with nuclear is an invisible one, whereas falling off a wind turbine or cancer rates because of coal mining, for instance, as an example, or the coal industry, is more visible and more and for that reason less psychologically intimidating. But objectively, it is a PR issue, in that people do very much overestimate how dangerous this is, and they also are not aware that the safety regulations with regard to nuclear are the most stringent of any energy form in the world already. And so as we move into this sort of new nuclear phase of SMRs and microreactors and other types of reactors, accompanying that should be the PR that just addresses people's innate concerns about nuclear power and the nuclear industry.
All right, now your pitch mentioned industries like mining, maritime, shipping, and even Microsoft looking to embrace nuclear. Now, sticking with Microsoft specifically, how could nuclear energy improve their operations?
So the big place that nuclear could fit into in the tech industry is that data centers are incredibly energy intensive, and they're only getting more so. And that includes not just data centers as well, but as AI gets more sophisticated, the energy requirements that go into operate and maintain it are enormous. And that actually requires quite a consistent form of energy. So, say, wind and solar are probably out on that front because the capacity factors of both of those are very low. Now, if you're going to draw from the grid, that's going to put an enormous strain on the grid, because you could be the equivalent of a million houses or something like that if you're a big data center or a big tech center. And when you begin looking at solutions for these sort of things, you fall on nuclear almost immediately, because one, it's the most consistent form of energy that you can get, as in when you want power out of it, you can just get power out of it, and you can consistently get that amount of power out of it as long as you want, compared to anything else. It also it gives you the ability to locate your tech center or your data center or your AI anywhere you want. So if you want it in a remote location and you want it removed from the city, then you can do that with nuclear. It does not need to be locational dependent. Nuclear can be anywhere, but the diesel generator of renewables or zero carbon emitting energies. And so for that reason, the industry has begun to focus on SMRs as being the solution that they need to power their infrastructure and their future plans in a carbon-emitting, zero-carbon-emitting way that meets their climate goals at the same time. And so they're exploring how to power their data centers with nuclear, but that's being seen across and maritime. They're also trying to decouple. They're also looking for consistent forms of power that reduce their carbon emissions at those operations. And the only real way to do that is nuclear power.
All right. Well, as industry embraces nuclear power more, which is probably inevitable, what sort of red tape will businesses looking to integrate nuclear energy run into?
So it's interesting. I think a lot of the red tape we're actually hoping will be navigated before the customer actually wants the power source. So say, for instance, Nano, my company, is a microreactor company. So that's looking to deploy a microreactor that's essentially an ISO container-sized reactor and power system. What we're in discussions with the regulators about is, as long as that reactor meets a certain criteria, so say flooding risk, say the site we want to deploy it to meets a certain criteria like flooding risk, habitable temperatures, seismic risk, then it's okay to deploy there, and it doesn't need a separate site licensing process. Provided we can actually clear that red tape in the licensing process for each microreactor that we deploy. Hopefully the customer does not need to suffer a long commissioning or a long installation and commissioning time that they would expect from a big civil power reactor, which can be years and years and years of site-specific licensing. So the companies themselves, the SMR and the microreactor companies, might bear the brunt of the red tape that goes into the deployment of these things, but hopefully that's going to be a benefit to the customer. So when the customer does request one of these things, it can be deployed to them quickly without them having to go through a lot of the regulatory red tape that's associated with the nuclear industry and the licensing of each reactor and the licensing of each site.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, James. I want to thank you for your time. And to our audience, thanks for joining us and have a great day.